now the client is changing more to choose products with better quality, with a higher price, but it will stay longer, for example.
Good at working, and we're also quite pragmatic. And if you think about it, it's maybe not that pragmatic to dress beautifully when you go to work, whereas in Paris, for example, because of that appeal and you know, long-lasting interest in dressing beautifully, even though it's not practical to do so, you see a bank clerk. So yeah, maybe
it's not like this that some guys say, for example, pink is the color of the year and everyone is wearing pink. It's about economic status and society emotions and everything, and also AI is helping us and it will not take our job, because you have to know how to use it to improve and to make your work faster.
Okay, hello and welcome. Welcome to WS Podcast. Hello, hola, Aleksandra. How are you?
Hello, nice to see you, Wojtek.
Wonderful to have you here. So, yeah, just a few words from me before you introduce yourself to our audience, essentially, and myself in the future and yourself in the future as you listen to this and decide whether or not it's something worth your while. I've decided to make quite a new challenge for myself. We're going to be chatting about fashion, of which I have little to no comprehension whatsoever. So my sister actually gave me some ideas, and I'm really excited to hopefully basically give you a space to tell us what you're interested in and make your fashion statement. But for the beginning, to begin with, please, can you briefly introduce yourself to our audience?
Okay, so hello everyone. My name is Aleksandra Klekot. I'm a fashion designer in Reserved Brand, in a Polish fashion company. And I am a designer of women's shoes. And also I am teaching in fashion school and I am teaching shoe design. Yes.
Oh, cool. You mean in like practical terms?
Yeah, exactly.
Amazing. Awesome. Where should we start? So maybe let's start from this one, because honestly, I have no clue whatsoever how to get into shoe fashion design. So if there is anyone out there who's like, oh, I fancy designing shoes, what was your journey? Like, how did you end up there?
So this is quite funny, because I was studying at Technical University in Warsaw, and I decided that it's not for me, and I have to do something else with myself. And I started a fashion school, this school which I teach, where I teach right now. So I started this school and I loved it. And I took...
How
I
did
took
it go?
Place. I participate in many fashion contests, and I had some results also in fashion contests. I've met there a lot of people from fashion. So I started to work as a stylist in TV shows and some photo sessions. And later I worked in CCC company as a shoe designer for few months. And later LPP asked me to go to their company. So I am here and I love this job.
Wonderful. And, you know, when we met, when me and Julia met you at our ski trip, you mentioned that you're actually in charge of some part of shoe designing in the company. Like, what do you actually do on your day to day?
I am responsible for 90% of women's shoes collection in Reserved. And I'm designing all of all kind of products like pumps, ballets, ankle shoes, sport shoes, everything. So I am responsible for all kinds of shoes in reserved.
And you do it all on your own? Surely you have a team.
Yeah. Working in a fashion company, like in a big company like Reserved or Zara, for example, it's a teamwork. So you have a team of, let's say, designers, but I'm here now. I have a colleague, one colleague, and two assistants.
Okay.
But I'm like a main one, let's say. And I also have a team of buyers, which are responsible for prices, for quantities, and something more like not creative, for data, let's
okay,
say.
Okay, yeah, okay.
Yeah. And we are working together, and to be honest, I like very much to work in the team because we have brainstorm meetings, and it's really nice, and we create very successful collections. So yeah,
that's crazy. I mean, 90%. So basically, for all the audience out there who are listening in Poland, and I assume quite a few other countries, I'm not familiar with how many markets Reserved is on. I think I even asked you that question before, like, how does it feel when you go outside, you go around the city and you notice people wearing your shoes? Like, that must be quite a peculiar experience, right?
Yeah, it's amazing, really amazing. When I go to the street and I see a girl in my shoes, it's like I want to come to her and say her, thank you very much that you choose my design.
And this is maybe a little personal question, but do you choose your own designs as well? Are you wearing?
Of course, I'm the ambassador of my designs, and I love to wear my shoes. I also love to wear other brands like New Balance, for example, for sports, or some higher brands also. I'm a big fan, but I am also wearing my shoes. Yeah,
that's class. Okay, so I think this is a good moment to ask one of the questions that for context, my sister works for, I believe, Prada right now, and what she's interested in particular is how the trend and market sort of analysis plays a role in figuring out maybe what's next in fashion. And you mentioned that you do brainstorming and you have creative meetings, and I know that you travel a lot for your like fashion weeks. So maybe just share with us a little bit about just how much of creativity and freedom do you and your team you have in making those products versus how much of what you make is sort of dictated by the trend in the world.
In brands like Reserved and Zara, it's mostly like following the trends, because we are designing for a mass client, let's say. So we have to put the trends from the catwalks for like normal people, yeah?
Okay.
And it's like we know the trends after the catwalks, but the client will buy the trend after 1 year, because if we will, for example, put the trend product too early in our stores, the people will not understand it and will not buy it. So we have to also think about timing to put the trend in the store.
Okay. So let me understand. So you go to a fashion week of a sort, you see the catwalk, sort of what's there in the future, potential future that might be trendy. And then you take it home and you make it into, like, you put a twist on it with your team.
Yes. Because it has to be like more usable, because sometimes if you have a trend on a catwalk, it's like very directional and not usable for everyday use. Yeah, so you have to make it more usable for everyday.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. You know, I've not been to any fashion week per se, but some of the collections I've seen just from photos and stuff, like they're not really something that you'll be wearing for your day to day going to the office vibe, right?
Yeah, sometimes it's really crazy. And for example, latest catwalk of Chanel, because Chanel from few seasons have a new creative director, and he turns Chanel up to the popular to popularity.
Okay.
Like you know, make more popular.
Sure.
Right now, because before Chanel was like oldie for more old client and something like that, and now the new creative director Matthew Blazy turns a new, let's say, shine to Chanel.
Okay, okay, I see.
And for example, in the latest catwalk, he presented sandals without outsole. And it was like sandals only for the heel part.
So you're walking crazy. Barefoot, essentially.
Yeah, exactly.
But okay, so for context, and this is maybe slightly off kilter, but who buys those things? Like, where is the market for sandals without the sole?
It's a really good question, to be honest, but I think it's like for only for a fashion freaks, and also only for a super rich people. Yeah, because
okay.
If you have to go to work every day, you will not buy the sandals without the outsole, because it's, you know,
yeah,
it's pointless.
I mean, it's definitely it's literally a fashion statement if you do that,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Okay, so maybe the follow-up question on this is going slightly more towards that technical part. How much, or maybe if any, how much is reserved, or you know, your team using data, collecting data of your sales, and in figuring out those trends? Because I understand that you go to the fashion week, and so you understand where they're trying to point you, but effectively you still, as a team, have to decide whether or not it's worth going there, right? Like, if they showed you sandals without soles, it might be something that is quite fun to look at, but it's not necessarily something practical for you. So do you use any other sources to inform your decisions?
Yes, of course. In short way, maybe I will tell how the process mostly look like.
Please.
At first, I have mood boards from my head designer, and also data from buyers about the sales for a special collection, like a collection for February, let's
okay.
say. And I have a mood board, and I have a data from buyers, what we sell last year, for example.
Okay.
What's
a mood board? Sorry, what's a mood board?
A mood board is a board with inspirations. So with
okay.
the photos of the of some shoes, of some clothes, of some things, that you have a board which will provide you with a vibe, let's
okay,
say, and colors,
right.
and materials, fabrics, qualities, everything. Yeah.
Okay.
So you have a mood board with a vibe of the collection and colors.
Okay.
Yes. And also the data with from buyer's side, and with all those things. So with the mood board and the data, I am starting the creative process. So I am starting to draw, design all shoes, and I am searching materials, picking up the colors, details, and everything. And later, I presented the collection for my team, and we have a brainstorming with my team, with buyers, with my team. Designers team, let's say, and with my manager and head designer, and we have a brainstorming. So everyone is,
pitching giving ideas. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it's really, really nice and really creative. But at the end, we are picking to the collection designs which we feel. So it's like we have the data. And we base on data, but if we feel, for example, that some shoe have a nice color, and we feel that it will be a trendy or it will sell, we are taking it to the collection. And this is the part which I love about my job, because it's a little bit with data, but also you are working with emotions, yeah? So that's really nice.
I mean, it feels like the data is there to inform you, but if you were to choose data or intuition, you're going to go for intuition.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Did I understand correctly that during your brainstorming session, you have some representatives of your major buyers present and they can also pitch ideas?
Yes, of course. Yes, of course. So buyers also give their ideas to the collection. And also, if you are a designer, you have to be prepared for the critic. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
And you have to be open for the feedback.
Okay. So how does it look like? Is it literally like you and your partner on stage showing, and there is a, I assume, quite a hefty group of people pitching ideas and giving you feedback, essentially?
Yes, it looks quite like this, but it's more friendly vibe.
Okay.
Because you know, we are printing the collection, the designs, and we are putting it on a table, and we are like 10 people, and we are standing
near
the table, so it's more like friendly. It's not like I have an audience and I have to present my presentation. It's more like working together.
Okay, but it's not that many people then. You said 10 people.
Yeah, it's 10 people.
So
yeah.
It's quite okay. So it's quite, and I assume, how long have you been working there?
3 years.
Okay, over those 3 years, is it often similar group that participates in that process?
Yes.
Okay,
for
I
shoes,
see.
Because we are talking only about shoes. Yes?
Sure,
because
sure, sure.
Every product has a different theme. Yeah.
Okay, of course. And okay, so you mentioned that there are, you know, the prototypes on the table and stuff. How many of the ideas that you come up with don't make it to the production process? Like, roughly?
A lot of. It's like 50%. Like, I have to design 50% more to... But we are checking it in the stage of design. So
of course.
At the paper, yeah.
Okay. But this is also something maybe slightly off topic, but not really. As a creative person, I've observed in myself that. Whenever, you know, maybe I've written a nice poem that I really enjoyed, and then the feedback from, for example, my wife was not necessarily that great. Like, it's not the nicest feeling to, it's kind of like you have to give away your baby for the sake of another one. So do you feel that by now you've grown used to it, or is it still something that you're like, but can we really, I really want to keep it? How does it feel?
It depends of the day, to be honest, because if I have a good day, I don't care that much, and I'm okay to let's say throw it.
Yeah.
Or sometimes I am also
I see what you mean. Sometimes you will push back if something is really important for you, of course.
Yeah.
And so 10 people, is it a democratic process, or is there one particular person who's like, if everyone is, chatting, that person is there to decide at the very end of it?
Yes, our manager.
Okay, all right.
Our manager has the last word. But she's also open for small fights. Like, for example, if she doesn't like some design or some model, but we like it, she sometimes say that, okay, if you feel it, we are taking it to the collection.
Of course, I see. So that's the part that you appreciate, right? Because it's not... You're still in control to a point. Like your word matters. Okay, so let's go back to your creative process. Like, how do you? Have you ever thought, like, how do you come up with those ideas? Is there a system that you've developed?
To be honest, I just think. And I see it, like, sometimes it's like I saw a piece of material or a color or, I don't know, something on a street that someone is wearing something, and I think, oh, that kind of shoe will be perfect to this outfit, for example. So,
I see.
Yeah, so it depends, and I think that... a lot of inspiration I have from my business trips, and they are also for inspirations. So yeah, I think a lot of inspiration I have from business trip, because, for example, when I am traveling to China, of course I am designing there in the showrooms, like in real life I'm designing shoes. But also we are going, for some walks, for some markets, to the malls, and we can observe people on the other side of the world, and it's really inspiring.
Yeah, of course, no. And I think we've talked about it off camera before as well, that in those trips are like a part of your job, right? You're literally getting paid to travel to see other cultures, right?
Because it sounds like, I'm going for a trip and I just look at the people and this is my job. But it doesn't look like this, because when I'm going, for example, to China, I work, for example, 10 hours in a supplier's office, and I am designing shoes in real life. Also, of course, we are doing shopping for our work, but it's not like I'm traveling and I'm not doing anything there, just looking for the people. I am also really hard work there.
No, yeah, sure. So, the one question that my sister also mentioned when I was chatting with her literally today, was like, where do you see Poland in particular on the fashion landscape today? Like, and I don't really know how to turn that question any more specific, because I don't really know what exactly I'm asking about. I'm not a fashion expert, but I guess the point of the question is something like, are there trends that are emerging from Poland, or is Poland still on the maybe a following or receiving end of that fashion, you know, evolution?
Yes, I think that Poland as a country and as a society cannot be the first in the first place in fashion, because we don't have this history as a France and craftsmanship as a France and Italy, for example. So we never will be on the first place in, for sure. But in few years, I think it gets better, because, for example, we have designer Magda Butrym, which she's famous in whole world right now, and her style is the style of her brand is Polish and Eastern Europe, and she's showing it in very good taste, and it's really nice to observe that it's happening. Yeah, so it's really good. When you see people in France, for example, in Paris, all of them, it's not like, for example, a woman which is working in a bank, she's still looking very good because she's like French, just like this. And in Poland, it's not like that because of the history and everything. So I think we will not be in the first place, but it's nice that we are evolving.
Yeah, you know, you just made me think of two things. One, as you said, like in terms of the wealth, we said earlier that who's the one buying those catwalk mm-hmm. products. It's likely some Polish people will, but it's not as many as maybe from other countries. I get that. But also, you just made me think about, like, what do I feel as a Polish man is something that, like, you know, what is unique to Polish people? And I think one of the things that countries will recognize elsewhere is we're quite sort of good at working. And we're also quite pragmatic. And if you think about it, it's maybe not that pragmatic to dress beautifully when you go to work, whereas in Paris, for example, because of that appeal and, you know, long-lasting interest in mm-hmm. dressing beautifully, even though it's not practical to do so, you see a bank clerk. So, yeah, maybe for that reason as well, it just might not be a fashion capital if we're not focused on fashion as much, right? That's interesting, right? I didn't know about, but that's another, you know, I really liked how you said about Magda Butrym, that maybe that's also a thing that once, over time, if in Poland people embrace our, you know, their culture more, and are more likely to show it as a fashion statement, it might just become trendy, right? So it may be like a baseball cap. It's a thing that you wear a baseball cap and you know that you're associating it with United States straight away. You don't need to ask like twice why the baseball cap. Okay, so let me see what I've had on the... Okay, all right. So this might be slightly, more difficult topic. I don't think I've actually mentioned it to you, but this just popped into my head, and so be it. So have you noticed in terms of, or I don't know if you see it day to day, but have you noticed that there is a change in how people... choose to dress or how they make their buying choices, especially when it comes to shoes? And as you said, Reserved is producing for the mass market. So I assume there are both products that are lower price and both products that are a bit more premium in value. Have you noticed, or was there any mention in the company over the past years of like the trend changing? Is there more people in Poland buying high-end products? Is there more people deciding to buy the cheaper ones? I don't know.
I can see in my work that our client, for example, choosing higher price products with better quality. And it's really good that it changed, because a few years ago, super fast fashion brands like Shein or something similar to that came to the market and destroyed it completely. And everyone wanted to be faster, more, a lot of clothes, a lot of everything. And I think now the client is changing more to choose products more with better quality, with a higher price, but it will stay longer, for example.
And when you mean the client, you mean the customers that are buying off of you as the company, or like an everyday person that goes into the store?
I mean, like every person.
Okay. Okay.
Which is coming to the store. That more of people check the quality, check the price, and choose the better quality right now. So I think they are more. Responsible? No.
I see what you mean, like quality conscious, maybe. Yeah. And you know, it might be something to do with just being more aware as well. Mm-hmm. Simply, as you said, like fast fashion is not a thing that people, I think, 10 years ago would understand when we just mean fast fashion. You would have to explain. Whereas now, even myself, a complete ignorant on the topic, is like, oh, I understand what you mean by fast fashion. So it potentially did become more mainstream as a thing. So, okay, maybe slightly going off topic yet again. Why shoes?
Why shoes?
Yeah, like was it just random, or was it in particular your your interest?
Mm-hmm. At first, because when I was in school, I designed clothes. More clothes, but shoes are very nice to design. It's a really nice product to design, and I like the shapes, and I love the shoes. I just love the shoes, and I decided to go to this kind of product because I just love them.
Fair. No, I mean, it makes sense that you're so excited about them. But did you fell into the department with shoes kind of like, by luck? Or when you were changing to join LPP, did they offer you, which department are you interested in? And you said you'd like to join the shoes department.
It is also a quite funny story, because before LPP and before Reserved, I worked in CCC. So CCC,
okay, of course,
has only the shoes. Yeah. So I was in a team which was responsible for special collections, like trendy collections. And after that, Reserved asked me to come to them, to the shoe department. So yeah.
Okay, so
like this.
taking even a few steps back then, how did you end up in CCC? Was it because that you met someone during your stylist career that saw potential in you and offered you a position, or did you actively apply to different companies and CCC was the one that took you in?
Yes, I applied to them. The competition is big in designers, but I think they picked me because I had a collaboration with, unfortunately, Shein.
Okay.
And
all right. Have you considered, or is there a way, maybe even, is there a way of making or of having success in fashion if you're not a part of a big brand such as, you know, Reserved or other? Do you think that someone, you know, that has passion for clothing and can design, have you seen such examples, or is it usually the case that you go as a stylist, you join a company of a sort, and then over time maybe you become recognized and appreciated?
The good example is Magda Butrym also. And she also finished and graduated at my fashion school.
That's so a good sign. Nice. Yeah.
But I have also one friend from my class, from my fashion school. And she is a head designer in a smaller but quite luxury Polish brand. But I don't remember right now the name. Her name is Victoria Frankowska, and she's also designing clothes like by her. So she's like on her own, like a Victoria Frankowska, and she also took part in many competitions, and we were there together, and we were a little bit fighting with each other, but in a good way, of course. But she's making her own designs in her own brand, and I know that she was at Paris Fashion Week last time, or she had a stand in at Paris Fashion Week. So she for sure she's successful as a designer, like for her own. But also she's working as a head designer in this brand, Andress Code. So it's also a good example that you can do many things, but you have to be quite famous, let's say, because she built, for example, she built her name based on the competitions.
Of course.
Because she took part in many competitions and she won some also. So she built her name on this.
And can you while you're being employed at your company, can you take part in such competitions as well on your own?
If I want design shoes, I think yes. But if I will design shoes, it will be, you know,
a competition. Yeah. Yeah, you'll be making competition
for my company. So.
Yeah. I see. Of course, no. And I assume there are contests and tournaments for all kinds of different pieces of clothing, right? Like there is potentially a fashion competition for shoes, and then there is a potential fashion competition for, I don't know, hats.
No, it's not like this. It's like a fashion competition for the whole silhouette. If you are taking part or participate in a competition, in a contest, you have to design full silhouettes. So, for example, you have to design five full silhouettes with a hat, with a bag, with shoes, with coat and everything. So yes, you have to.
Okay, and I assume you've done that before.
Yes.
During the and do you still do it or enjoy it, or did you sort of move your attention mostly to shoes these days?
I moved my attention to my work right now, and I don't have enough time to do some creative things as in school. But I really enjoyed it at that time, and it was really nice to do it, and I learned a lot there. So yeah, it was very nice to do it. But right now I'm not doing anything like this.
Yeah, I mean it makes sense as well, right? Especially with the busyness of the job. There is this idea, and this is not only for fashion, it's like in general, there is this, I'm pretty sure there is a nice quote for this, but I forgot it, that nothing is really fully new, that we're always sort of recreating, regurgitating what was done before and maybe adding on top of it, right? So the question that I had for you on my little list was also, do you feel there is a potential for something completely new in fashion, or is it really like people say, I've heard that it's just cycles, that it comes and then, you know, if 20 years later it comes back again with a twist and...
Yes, fashion is like circular, so for sure trends are also circular, and trends are coming back after a few years, sometimes earlier, but in my opinion there is also a place for a freshness, like as we can see in new Chanel or in new Dior, because new Dior also have a new creative director, and I love this guy. His name is Jonathan Anderson, and Matthew Blazy for Chanel and Jonathan for Dior, they bring completely new things to the old brands, and they rebuild it completely new. And I know that they have some connections to the, let's say, older things, but still, when you are looking for it, it's shocking you, and it's completely new with details, with colors, with finishing of the clothes and accessories. So, in my opinion, there is a place to bring freshness to the fashion.
And have you thought, like, for example, I've noticed that. Normalized is probably a good word for it. Over the time of my limited life, I've noticed that it's more popular among men, for example, to have a bag, right? I've even seen a bag, a handbag made of alligator skin that was designed for men, right? Mm-hmm. And I was wondering, like, how does fashion how does fashion become so popular that people change their trends of using things? Because it's one thing that you know, I've noticed someone wearing a hat and I wore a different hat, so now I switch to this hat. But it's very different to convince me and my behavior to change so much that I started wearing a bag when, you know, potentially, I don't want to, you know, this is all generalization, but I assume it was much less popular 40 years ago for a man to have a handbag. And I know, for example, when I lived in the Middle East, that because of the really hot climate, there is it was much more popular already to have a handbag for your things rather than have them in your pockets, simply because it's too hot and you wear a dishdasha, which is having, you know, barely any pockets, and it's just not comfortable. Imagine, you know, having a very light piece of material on you and then a phone that just keeps bumping you on the side as you walk. So how do we change, like, I don't know what I'm asking here. I'm just kind of, you know, riffing on this idea. Like, how do we make people change their behavior so much that they start using something they've never used before?
It's a good question. And I think it's like it's like an emotion. And we are still around the emotions, because also the trends depends on what is going in the world, let's say, and also in society, how is the vibe, let's say. So I think that it's everything about the emotions, and yeah.
Okay. So let me ask you this, and please don't feel free not to tell us what's the next year trend, because I understand that essentially what you mentioned earlier is like you're designing now for 2027, right?
Yes. So, yes, exactly.
But you did say that emotion, the vibe of the world or the country plays a role in. So, for example, am I correct in assuming that if the times are difficult, if people are feeling, you know, stressed and whatever, you will have, for example, more like heavy and maybe less colorful clothing, or is this too simplifying?
Yes, it's quite like this. And for example, if you have a bad economic situation in a country, also when you are designing things, you have to give the customer product which they can buy. So you have to design cheaper products. Yeah. So everything depends on the also vibe, but also on economic status and many things, I think.
I see what you mean. Yeah, play a role in this equation, yeah, let's say. Yeah. But it's also curious to me, like, because someone at some point had to make the first sort of move, right? We've talked, taking the process from the moment I buy the shoes back, it's like I bought the shoes that first the company produced based off of the designing that you've created, based off of the catwalk that was presented. And who's the one that makes that first decision? Like, is it literally a group of 10 people that's like just randomly, okay guys, we're gonna make them all wear bags this year?
No, it's not like this, that some guy say, for example, pink is the color of the year and everyone is wearing pink. It's not like this, because as also I told you before, that it's about economic status and society, emotions and everything. And also because there is a company which is analyzing the trends, but like the emotions of the world and everything. This company name, WGSN in Polish, so WGSN.
Okay.
SN, and they are analyzing everything and they are making reports. So you can, for example, as I work, I can check a report and I can took from it some wnioski.
I see what you mean. You can inform yourself with its conclusions. But is it like literally you just go online, you probably pay a subscription or whatever, and you have different countries with different data on those countries, like, or different markets?
It's not like that, but different markets. Yeah, you can, for example, check for women, for men, like that, so and we can check it. But I think also big brands, like luxury brands, also based on this kind of reports, but not only. I think that, but it's, I'm not sure,
this so is
it's
speculation, not like
you
yeah.
know 100%,
of course,
but I think that they have also their own trend researchers, like they have their own people who are analyzing the the world, let's say.
Of course. Okay. So in let me just park this for a second. I want to come back to that. So, okay, a random question that came to me. Do you, when you're designing your shoes, do you like design different, you imagine what kind of a customer will be interested in that kind of shoe, or do you try to, or do you design with the mind that like whoever picks it up is just for them? I'm not imagining my ideal customer. My ideal customer is just someone who likes a classy shoe.
No, every time when I design a shoe, I exactly know who will wear this shoe. And I can imagine this woman. I know what she will pick to put on like clothes. Every time I know who is buying my shoes.
Is every pair also as part of the reserved catalog? Is every pair matched with a sort of an outfit in the production process?
Not every time. It's not like matched. Not at all, to be honest. It's more like because we have head designers, so they are, let's say, put together the vibes of the collections.
Okay.
When shoes are accepted to production and we have whole collection, after that they are matching to the
I see. Okay. Clothes. So it's like it's not your worry, it's the marketing or whatever. Yes. the essentially the showroom part.
Yes.
I see. Now going to my China and other markets question, I'm just wondering, like, is the fashion that we're experiencing in UK or in Poland, is it the same in the year as it is in other on the other continents or in other countries? Or do you, for example, for the most part, you create with Europe in mind, and then there is a different fashion trend going on, I don't know, in Australia or China?
It depends, because I am focused on Europe, because I am designing for Europe, so I know Europe trends. I don't know how is it in Australia, for example, or in the United States. I think in United States it can be similar as in Europe, in Australia also, but Asia is completely different market. They have completely different trends. They like completely different things. They see also completely different things than we see. So I don't know how is it in trends in China.
I see what you mean.
I know, because I am going there twice a year, but for the mass production, let's say, for mass customer, I know more about the Europe trends.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. You just made me think of this idea, what we said earlier, that it's probably very much so related to culture as well, right? And if
yes.
Everyday vibe is different, and let's not forget that China, for the most part, has a completely separate internet even. So, you know, what
yes.
they experience as the world is rather different than what we do in UK or Poland. But yeah, it's curious, right? Because you go to China, but effectively you're still creating for the European market. It's just that that's where the suppliers are, right? I just wanted to ask about AI, because so for context, slightly different, but yet still the same. I work as an auditor, which is just a boring form of an accountant. And even in such a space, what I'm observing more and more is there is a big push, kind of by necessity, of using more and more of these sort of large language models, which are like just really good calculating machines. But of course, you know, it might seem to us that, or maybe some might claim that they are actually much more. Anyway, I was just wondering, are you using any sort of AI in your job, or is there a trend that you are using more and more of that, or is your job still fairly similar to as you started?
Yes, I'm using more AI, let's say, now. Many people which are working as a creatives, like graphics or designers like me, they are a little bit afraid about their work, about their job, because of the AI. And I think that AI is helping us, and it will not take our job, because you have to know how to use it to improve and to make your work faster. So I think that it's really helpful, to be honest. And I'm using it, and I think I do some designs and some things much more faster than before.
Okay, so how do you use it? When you say you use it, do you mean like, what I imagine is, once you have drawn an idea, you maybe will use AI to provide you with a few drafts of it, or like from different sides? I'm not sure.
Yes, for example, I have a sketch, like very simple draw of the idea. So I put it to AI, and I write down what I want to, for example, change, or what color I want, or something, or quality, material, fabric, etc. And the AI make for me the visualization in 3D, for example, so I can see if my design is good one, or it needs some
refinement. Of course,
yeah.
I assume there are many an AI program that helps you create out of words imagined products, like literally, you just describe what you'd like and it sort of generates. But just popped into my head. So in terms of the my audience primarily is people such as ourselves. It's mostly between like 25 years old, 23 years old, up until 40 years old. There are a few outliers here and there, but majority of the bell curve is in that age range, or so it seems on my data. And so I know that there are people out there who might be wondering, like, maybe they are working as accountants and they'd like to be fashion designers. And so I'd like you to maybe share with us, like, what would you tell them to start with, to do, that you think would help them in such a career?
For sure, it's good to find a fashion school to get the knowledge how to start, because without the fashion school, it will be really hard to participate in contests. And the contests are the most important thing, in my opinion, because you meet their people, and also you learn a lot how this industry looks, and how to be there, how to be with those people. So I recommend to go to fashion school, and also to participate in the contests.
And then when it comes to applying to jobs, is it the usual route of, like, I don't know, LinkedIn or other like pracuj.pl, or are there some fashion ways of getting in there other than that?
Fashion industry is a little bit closed.
Okay.
And this is why making the connections it's really important, because of course you can apply by Pracuj.pl or LinkedIn to big companies like LPP or Inditex, Zara, etc.
And you mentioned that you worked as a stylist. Mm-hmm. How do you become a stylist?
I went to internship to because my school sent some emails with information when you can go for an internship, and I went to an internship with a stylist, and also she had a fashion brand, so I also made some my first designs for her. And yeah, and I was working with her for 4 years. So.
Oh wow! For 4 years, so it was you enjoyed it then.
Yeah, yeah, I liked it, and I really liked to work in TV. Let's say as a stylist, I had a period that I really enjoyed it, but later I saw that I want to design. I don't want to be a stylist. Mm. I want to be a designer. So I changed my way, let's say.
Yeah,
a little bit.
But it does make sense what you said earlier, that effectively for both this route and potentially designing, the school is there as a starting point. Simply because then even just making connections at school might benefit you. I see what you mean. Okay. All right. So before I ask my usual final question of the chat, I just wanted to ask you, like, is there anything else about your interest in fashion or about fashion industry or whatever that we've not talked about, that you feel like this is the, you know, we should mention it at least, or people need to know?
I don't have something like this, to be honest.
Okay. I'm pretty sure we've covered quite a bit, definitely for my understanding. So usually, as part of my conversations on the podcast, and of course ours was very much so dedicated to the fashion industry and stuff, but don't feel like that needs to be the theme of your answer. I ask my guests to share with me and my audience something as a farewell, you know, parting gift. Maybe it's an idea that really helps you. Maybe it's a nice, I don't know, a habit that you have. Maybe it's a book that you enjoy or a movie that you've watched. Whatever it is, maybe you just want to say hi to your mom. Like, you know, essentially consider this a space to express yourself to our audience and maybe offer them a little something extra, something personal.
I am moving right now to the new apartment.
Okay.
So this is quite private. And I am also going for a kite surfing trip.
Where are you going? You're going to Brazil?
To Egypt.
Oh, to Egypt. Are you going to whatever. Let's not get more people's names into the mix. it's not their choice to be here anyway. But maybe then one question about your flat moving. Is that why you have the fashion rack, a coat hanger at the back, or is it a fashion statement that you've arrived to the interview with this?
Yes, it's because of the moving to the new apartment.
I see.
But it fits really well to our conversation, so
100%. Yeah, it certainly is a themed interview after all, or a conversation. I don't know what that was. Anyhow, thank you so much for joining me. I hope you enjoyed. and we'll explore maybe in a few years' time how the moods are changing. I'm actually quite curious what you have in store for next year, but I know that it's probably proprietary knowledge. But yeah,
yeah,
thank you so much, Ola, for joining. It was lovely.
Thank you very much. For me, it also was lovely, and sorry for my English.
No, your English is perfect. Don't worry. Other than that, guys, thank you so much for listening to us. I hope you enjoyed, and I'll make sure if Ola shares with me and agrees, I'll make sure to give you some details of her social media maybe or something, so you can follow her on her fashion journey. And yeah, other than that, you know, thank you for listening. Hope you click that subscribe, like, whatever button, and have a wonderful week. Stay happy, stay healthy, and I'll see you next time.
And the same from me. Thank you.